This morning's reading is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, starting at chapter 1, verse 17, until chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 1, 17, until 2, 5. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much this morning for the precious gift of your word and for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us and helps us to understand your word. And Lord, we're so thankful that you do use the weak and foolish and just the simple things, Lord, and sometimes we feel weak and foolish, and yet you can use us, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. And I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and minds this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through the pastor, just clarify his words as they come to our ears and our hearts. And we just ask for your blessing on this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Our church, I used to go to two different churches, the Armenian Evangelical Church, and then in the afternoon I would be going to the Greek Evangelical Church. And when you entered the Greek Evangelical Church, there was a big sign or a verse. And that verse said in Greek, Εμείς κηρύττουμε Χριστόν και ούτων εσταυρωμένων, which means we preach Christ and Him crucified. And in the beginning I said, of all the verses, why did they put that verse? We preach Christ and Him crucified. But then I realized what it meant, that no one else can replace that message. Nothing else can replace the message of Jesus Christ. When I was 17, going 18, I joined the Air Force, the Greek Air Force, and I was sent for 3 months of training. The place was Corinth. I went to Corinth with all kinds of dreams of becoming a member of the Royal Greek Air Force and have that uniform and impress people. But then when I went there, all my dreams were shattered because they started training me in a very harsh way, or training us all. And so Corinth is very familiar to me. I spent there 3 months. The population when this was written, the New Testament was written, was about 250,000 free Greeks, free men and women. But there were about 400,000 slaves. You're talking about slavery in the U.S. You should have seen what was happening in Greece. There were about 400,000 slaves. They were pagans and they were worshipping all kinds of things. There were about 1,000 prostitutes in the temple. And so Corinth was a very active city in Greece. And that is the backdrop, if you wish, of the letter to the Corinthians when Paul writes to them. The believers in Corinth were divided and not living up to the Christian standards. The Christian standards were given to them by the apostles, and they had accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they had been transformed. They were born again, and then they had those churches or house churches, and the church was growing. That was until they started listening to other opinions, when they started incorporating some of the pagan practices, when they looked around and they saw the pagans, or at least the temple, practicing some things that were very exciting to the newer generation. And the believers in Corinth were now divided, living a divided life. They were mixing the gospel with the wisdom of the world. They were glorifying or glorying in men and man-made doctrines and did not understand the meaning of the gospel. Today's church and believers, I'm afraid to say, are in the same kind of a situation. We have received the gospel. The world has heard about the gospel. Millions are being saved. As I said last Sunday, China has the largest evangelical population, or born-again believers are in China, Korea, some other countries. But here, where in the Western world, where the gospel was sort of, we have the a lot of commentaries, we have books, we have tapes, we have DVDs, all kinds of stuff is available to those who want to learn more about Christ. But unfortunately, those things have also confused people, and people are looking now in the wisdom that is found in the world and bring that wisdom, if you wish, into the church and modify some of the things that Jesus taught us. Apostle Paul deals with this situation and gives them 7 proofs to show them that the gospel, which is the message of Christ, is all people need, not the wisdom of the world system. And I have 7 points this morning, 7 reasons, 7 things that we should not forget. And of course, we start with Paul himself. Paul's commission in verse 17, he was sent by Jesus to preach the gospel, the good news alone, not the gospel plus man's philosophies. We cannot, must not mix anything with the gospel. Apostle Paul puts it this way, and I'm reading that verse. Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. You see, the cross itself is not the power. That is why we say that we should not worship the cross, but who was crucified, who died on that cross and now is alive, Jesus Christ. But the moment you start compromising the gospel of the cross, the moment you compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you take away some of that power and you distribute it to, give it to other people, other doctrines, other religions. The only power that is effective until today and forever is the power that comes from God, from the cross, from Jesus himself. Number two is the personal experience. Verse 18 says, they had experienced the gospel's power personally, but now they were looking for proofs in wisdom and man-made intelligence. The verse says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I mean, you go here on Park Avenue, you go downtown, go to any city, anywhere, and you start talking about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and unless someone has been touched by that power, will laugh at you. And even religious people who have sort of mixed a lot of other things into the faith, into the gospel, will say, well, you know, that's not the only way you can be saved. And once again, let me share what happened to me when I went to a conference and there was a workshop for the Christians. And I went to that workshop and this professor of theology in the Christian denomination that I thought was very evangelical stood up and started saying, talking about religions and about things and about tunnels and about not all, there's actually what he said was that there are many tunnels leading to Jesus, to leading to heaven and eternal life. And I sort of, he didn't ask for any questions, but anyway, I stood up and asked the question and I said, are you saying that there are many other ways of getting into heaven and finding salvation and eternal life? He says, yes, there are. And I said, so what happened to what Jesus said, that he is the only door, the only truth, the only life? Oh, he says, you are an old-fashioned believer. You think that only through Christ you can find salvation. But I assure you, he said, there are many other ways to find salvation. And I started saying other things, and then I realized that I was not wanted in that meeting anymore. And so you start compromising one thing. You say, oh, just a little something, and then you compromise with something else, and then eventually that gospel loses its power. And that personal experience that you had when you accepted the Lord and the Holy Spirit came in and changed your life, and the old person moved away, and the new person, you started enjoying that new person who is changed, washed, and the Holy Spirit has come into your life. But when you start compromising, as the Corinthians did, then they lost that power. The personal experience did not help them continue because they had compromised. Number three is the scripture, the word of God. Verses 19, 20. Actually, Paul quotes from Isaiah 19:12 and 29:14 and 33:18 to prove that God does not the world's wisdom. In fact, God will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will perish. The wisdom of the wise will perish, and intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. No one says that studying a book is sinful. I don't believe I am saying, at least, that listening to others is sinful. I'm not saying that going into some helps or some commentaries is sinful, but when you start replacing the Word of God with the comments of other people, then that gospel will lose its... The Word of God doesn't lose its power, but when you pour a lot of water into the wine, as they said, that is no longer wine, it's just water. Watered down gospel has no power. Scripture, the Word of God, is the only thing that we can build on and rely, and it's the solid rock that we must build our lives on, the Bible says. And then, number four is human history. With all of its wisdom, the world was not able to find God or salvation. Trace human history and you will discover that it is a record of men getting more and more knowledge, but less and less wisdom, especially about spiritual matters. Why? Because they have a wrong or no concept or understanding of God and His revelation to mankind. And unless we understand what God, who God is, and how God has revealed Himself to mankind, we will never be able to find what we are searching for, which is that emptiness in our life, and that vacuum in the human heart will remain just a vacuum and emptiness until God comes and fills that spot. And human history has taught us many lessons. Great men came, great philosophers came, and great religions have come, and some are still around and growing because man is trying to reach someone, something, some power, some theology, something to find some satisfaction. As we heard the children's story this morning, man has been trying everything to be able to fill that emptiness and has not been able to, until came face to face with Christ and the cross. So that is why Apostle Paul says, for to the human beings out there, our faith is foolishness, but to us is power. God's plan is so simple and so unique that it's foolishness to the world. God, saves those who believe what He says about His Son, Jesus. And unless you believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot find salvation. And I know that some people say, I believe in Jesus. Yes. Millions of people, as a matter of fact, 2 billion people claim to be Christians. And 2 billion people will say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But it all depends what they mean by I believe in Jesus. Do they believe in Jesus as a historical personality? Do they believe in Jesus as one of the sons of God? Do they believe in Jesus as a prophet? Do they believe in Jesus as one of their gods? In Hindu religion, Jesus is one of their gods. In the Jewish faith, Jesus is a teacher, a prophet, if you wish. Among the Muslims, Jesus is a prophet. And among Christians, in Christendom, Jesus is Jesus. But who is Jesus? Very few have understood. And unless we understand who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God, the only Son of God, and Jesus is God Himself, our life will not change. That is why Jesus said, I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the life. And Apostle Paul emphasizes that. Number five, Paul's ministry. Paul had preached to Jews and Gentiles, that's Greeks and others, and the Roman world. He knew that the Jews looked for miraculous signs, and the Gentiles, the Greeks in particular, looked for philosophical wisdom. But God bypassed both to make salvation available through a crucified Christ. But this message of crucified Christ was a stumbling block to the Jews, whose idea of Messiah was very different. It was foolishness to the Greeks because it was below their philosophical system. But Paul says that this foolish gospel, as they defined it or referred to it, was God's power and wisdom to the Jews and Greeks and everyone else who had responded to the gospel. Jesus is our wisdom and power. He is all we need. Number 6, their own calling. Verses 26, 29, if God needs men's wisdom and glory, says Paul, then why did he ever call you? There were no mighty people, the Corinthians, that is, in the church at Corinth, no nobles, no philosophers, but God saved them. And just to prove a point, or not to prove a point, actually to give you a background to this point, just look at Jesus when he came to this earth and he started selecting disciples and apostles, and then the inner circle he chose, not philosophers, he did not choose theologians, he did not go into the temple and he did not go to the high court to choose some very educated and able people, but he chose fishermen and businessmen to do the work. And so he says to the Corinthians, Apostle Paul, if everything depends on wisdom and education, how come he chose you, or how come he has given you salvation? You didn't deserve it, nor did I, Paul says. No one deserves it, but it's the love of God and the power of the cross. In fact, God deliberately revealed himself and still does to the humble and the rejected. Throughout the Bible, we see how God was able to take the nobodies of history and make great leaders out of them. For example, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, etc. And number 7, finally, Christ's sufficiency is what he emphasizes. Verses 30 and 31. Every true believer in Christ Jesus and every true believer is in Christ Jesus, and Christ is to every true believer all that he or she needs. We don't need man's worldly wisdom or power. We have Christ. He is our redemption, our righteousness, our wisdom, our all. To add anything to Christ's or his cross is to diminish them and rob them of their power. And so when I listen to sermons on the radio or television and people say, yes, yes, you need Jesus, yes, that's for sure, but you also need this philosophy. You also have to look at this. You also have to sort of readjust your religion. Yes, worshiping God is fine, but also you need some excitement, some activity, something to give some meaning to the worship, and to make the worship service exciting, and to do this and the other. And as slowly they start compromising and start changing, like the Corinthians had done. The Corinthians had started well. All they did was look at the cross, look at Jesus, look at the message that the cross, or Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, and accepted it. And because they accepted the gospel, their lives changed, and now they were fulfilled believers. But then eventually one thing and another thing came in their lives, and they had compromised. And Apostle Paul is dealing with that. Whenever Christians get their eyes off Christ and start depending on men, trusting men's wisdom, and seeking to glorify men, then there will always be divisions and trouble. Most of the divisions and problems in the church today in general are because of differences of opinion, differences of persons or personality differences and doctrinal differences and worship differences and all kinds of other differences. Churches are divided because of translations. King James translation, no, it's not good, or it's good. The only one, NIV, is not good. Yes, it is. Oh, it's are you a Calvinist? No, I'm Arminian. No, you are Arminian. Do you believe in tongues? No, you don't believe in tongues. And you have all kinds of arguments all day long on radio, on television, in the news, in the media. Instead of talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, instead of pointing to the cross, instead of focusing on Jesus, they have been wasting their time and life arguing about things that will weaken that gospel, weaken the message. There were Christians in Corinth who admired and the philosophers and eloquence of intelligent men, and they thought that the church would be better off to use men's intelligence and philosophy to win converts rather than the simple message and hated message of the cross. Paul, seeing their spiritual conditions, writes to them the following, and I'm reading verses 1 to 5. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about Christ. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And I hope and pray that every leader, every pastor, everyone who serves the Lord gets the same attitude, that we have nothing other than what God gives us. And if we use our own intelligence, our own philosophy, our own understanding of mankind and the psychology of people and how to approach people and how to talk to people and how to present the gospel, you know, sideways and using all kinds of methods, maybe some good music, maybe some good acting, maybe some dancing in the church to prepare the source and the heart, maybe some jokes. Yeah, good jokes will prepare the people. Then the power of the gospel is lost. What people need is the truth about Jesus. What the people need is to hear what Jesus said, not what Joseph or Calvin or Martin Luther or Billy Graham or anyone said. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. What about the Christians of today? Do they resemble Apostle Paul in humility when he says, I didn't come with any eloquence? We do not need Christ plus anything else. Jesus is sufficient to save. He is all we need. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to each one of us. Lord, if I have presented anything or said anything that was not according to your will, please erase it from our minds. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit may touch our hearts and souls today and strengthen us, encourage us to know, because we know that you are here, and because you know, we know that you are alive and at work in our lives, we are encouraged and strengthened. Lord, help us to reflect you in our daily walk. And Lord, help us to not look around us for things that will excite the flesh, the mind, or the eyes, but to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. And help us to surrender our lives to you completely, so you may take our lives and make them a meaningful lives, and help us to finish our journey on this earth, knowing that you are always with us. I ask these things in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.